worthy, Lord. You are worthy of all glory and all honor and all praise, and you are worthy of our lives. May the Lamb who was slain receive the reward of his suffering. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That statement that I just made was a statement that was made by a young man who was a part of the Moravian Brotherhood. Not sure if you're familiar with who this was, but there was a missions organization, prayed around the clock, sent people all over the world in missions. And this man was trying to get onto a particular island to evangelize that island, and was blocked every time. And then he sold himself into slavery in order to be put on a slave boat, taken to that island for the rest of his life so that he could preach the gospel to a people that had never heard it. And as they were pushing that boat out off the shore, he hollered out, "May the Lamb who was slain receive the reward of his suffering." Amen. Amen. I wish that we all had that kind of abandonment. Say, "Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours." Father, I pray that you would help our heart get there. Even for the next hour, Lord, that you would help our heart get there. And Lord, that we would just continue to, as we begin to drift from that spot, continue to just use it like a tether, just to come back to it. No, I'm yours. I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own anymore. I belong to Jesus. And I thank you, God, that everything you lay your hands to gets better. And so we call it sacrifice sometimes, but we're always the beneficiary. May your glory spread, and may we be the spreaders of it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I hope, I don't know if you know this, but today is the day of Pentecost. Today's Pentecost. And this is a big day because Pentecost was the day that the church was born. Now, Pentecost actually didn't start in Acts chapter 2. Pentecost has been around a long time. Pentecost was simply 50 days after Passover. Now, Jesus comes along and changes the meaning of so many things, because the Passover meal, we actually celebrated it just a little bit with communion, because Jesus changed the meaning of the Passover meal into the Last Supper, Lord's Supper, communion. And so the meaning has been changed from the previous feasts and festivals that had a picture of the truth that was to come, and Jesus was the truth that came. Amen? So Passover was a harvest festival. There was three harvest festivals that there were three major festivals that the Jews were, the Jewish men had to come to Jerusalem three times a year. One was Passover, and one was Pentecost. The other one was Feast of Tabernacles. This Passover festival was one in which they were celebrating the wheat harvest, and they would bring the tithe of their harvest to the city of Jerusalem and celebrate the Lord with that harvest tithe. Now, it was on that day that what we're about to read happened. Okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. Everybody say one accord. In one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It sounded like a wind. We just sang a song that I just love that song. We need a fresh wind. We start each year with 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I was over there in my corner this January, and I was praying when the Lord reminded me of the previous January when I underwent a spiritual attack. I felt like I was being strangled, and it went on for too long. It's like you'd been waterboarded. It actually started about 4 a.m., didn't let up to about 7:30, and it was a horrible incident. And the Lord reminded me and spoke to me and said, "Satan, there's a principality trying to suppress the wind of God." See, the scriptures has the word in Greek, hagios, holy, pneumas, spirit. Pneumas simply means breath or wind, like pneumatic or pneumonia. It's the wind of God, the holy wind of God. And the Holy Spirit wants to suppress or quench The demonic wants to suppress or quench the Holy Spirit of God. But God needs to breathe and blow on us like never before. Y'all know that? And that morning when that was going down, all of a sudden, it was blowing outside. You could almost, you could hear the building creaking. And the sheet metal, I don't know how, 40 mile an hour maybe. And then we simulcast a live stream from Birmingham, Alabama. And they didn't know what the weather was going to be in Athens, Texas that day. But that song came on, "We Need a Fresh Wind, the Fragrance of Heaven." And it says in that song, we can hear the wind blowing. God is blowing on us. I hope y'all get that. God is, Satan wants to quench the spirit, but God wants to blow on us. Amen. And he will blow according to your receptivity and readiness. He will blow according to your receptivity and readiness. Chapter 2 again, verse 1. Then the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then there appeared on them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Before we go very far in this passage of scripture, I actually want to back up to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. And this is the story of the Tower of Babel. Now, we call it the Tower of Babel because of one building that they were building in this city, but it's actually the city of Babel. If you'll look with me to chapter 11, verse 1. Now, the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." And so I hope, I'm going to pause there for a second. I hope what you're seeing is a business of unity. Because of their unity, they could do amazing things. But what you might not see in that passage of scripture is the things that they are doing are not amazing good. They're amazingly bad. These are people that are demonically influenced, and they are trying to build a headquarter for hell. Say, where do you find this in that passage of scripture? Well, I'll show you in just a second. Let's keep reading it, because God has to interrupt it. Verse 5, "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, 'Indeed, the people are one, and they have one language, and this is what they began to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them.'" God says, so let me just back up for a second. There's this incredible back and forth between God and Satan. God, on the days of creation, created a beautiful place. He created man. Satan comes, infiltrates, brings down the corruption of man, and we have sin and the fall of man. Then we have Cain killing his brother Abel. But God moves again, and they have another child of a righteous lineage named Seth. So we have this back and forth. Then Satan moves again and stirs the people to sin, so much so that the earth was just covered with sinfulness, and God had to hit the reset button called the flood. Let's start all over again. He had a righteous line named Noah and his family. As soon as the waters receded and the ark landed, it didn't take long and corruption starts creeping back in again. So we see this back and forth. Then, shortly thereafter, as the earth is beginning to replenish with people and multiply, we have this incident. What is going on here? Hell is trying to get a human headquarters on earth, and it's called the City of Babel. You say, "I don't see that there." Well, then I want to point out to you in the book of Revelation, what you see in the book of Genesis, you'll also see in the book of Revelation. And the Babel of the book of Genesis is the same city as the Babylon of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. "After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, 'Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive her plagues. What we're seeing here is this city will be revived. This wicked, sinful city will come over its language barriers and it will revive and be a just this demonic haven. And God calls out to his people, and this is future, this book of Revelation. God calls out to his people, either separate or sizzle. You come out of there, or you're going to have the same destruction. Look in verse 8. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. So God says, separate or sizzle. You come out from that city, and I want you to understand this is not just a physical location, it's a spiritual state. And so the city of Babel will be the city of Babylon. And so I believe what was happening, what we see happening in Babylon was the beginning happened in Babel. And so this is why God had to stop it and confuse it. What did he confuse it with? Language. Said, they're all united. We can't have them be united. So we're going to confuse it by dividing their languages. Now go with me back to Acts chapter 2. Is anybody starting to pick up what I'm about to lay down? Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, all over again. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That's what they needed to be, in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, the rushing mighty wind. It filled the house. And what does it happen? They start speaking with other tongues. Now that's plural. That's plural. Other tongues. But I want you to just keep reading with me. Verse 5, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused. I don't know if you're picking up on this, but in the story of the city of Babel, we have them all coming together as one. God confuses their languages and they go out and become many nations. Those languages go out and they just continue to grow as many nations. This verse of scripture just said, all the nations come together. Now, what you're seeing here is the result of what we call the diaspora. The diaspora is when the Jews scattered from Jerusalem during persecution. First with the Assyrians coming in and taking out the northern 10 tribes of Israel, and then the Babylonians coming in and taking out the southern 2 tribes of Israel, and scatter the nation of Israel into every nation. And now the Jews from those nations are coming back to Jerusalem for this day, because it was a requirement in their law, coming back to Jerusalem for this day of Pentecost. And they start hearing this sound, this rushing mighty wind, and they start coming in together and they are confused. But the previous confusion with Babel is because they're confused because we don't understand each other. Y'all picking it up now? They're confused at Babel because they didn't understand each other. Now they're all speaking something different. They're confused now in this passage because they all understand each other. They're speaking the same thing. Let's look at verse 6. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? And then it starts naming off all these languages, all these nationalities. I'll try them. If I spit everywhere, there's nobody sitting right here. So we're Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were amazed and perplexed. We hear them speaking and we understand them. We're confused because now there's this miracle of language. Now, today, I'm not going to be preaching on tongues, That's a Bible study soon to come on Wednesday night in 1 Corinthians. But I'm not talking necessarily about how they were speaking, but I want to talk about what they were speaking. What they were speaking were the wonderful works of God. Amen. Have you experienced the power of God? If you've experienced the power of God, you have a testimony. And you have a testimony to tell. And when you speak, you should be speaking of the wonderful works of God. Amen. We all have something to talk about. You know, it's funny. I'm so thankful for Pastor Terry and Tanya being here. But on Sunday mornings now, I don't know what to do with myself. I'm standing out there in the hallway, and I'm over here an hour early just walking around thinking, I don't know what to do. It's a wonderful thing. And I'm just having talks with Tom, conversations in the hallway with people, and we're talking about the weather, and we're talking about this and that and other. And we can always find something to talk about, can't we? But here's one thing we ought to be talking about. What has God done in your life lately? Amen. That should be what we're talking about. What has God done in your life lately? By the way, I'm very thankful that my Sundays have been freed up a little bit. And don't think I don't have anything to do. Nobody try and come give me another job, all right? I got plenty to do. So we ought to be saying the same thing. We ought not to be divided in our language. We ought to be united in our language. And it should be, look at the wonderful works of God. I want to go back chapter 1, verse 14. This is what set the atmosphere for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 1, verse 14. These all continued with one accord. Everybody say one accord. In prayer and supplication with the women. These were those who come along with Jesus. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They had united together in prayer. And there he was about 100, next verse of scripture, 120. And they were praying in one particular room, this 120. And they were in one accord, united in prayer. That set the atmosphere for God to pour out the Holy Spirit on his people. When the Holy Spirit is poured out on a united people, this is the birth of the church. Amen. Salvation came when Jesus rose from the grave. Mary Magdalene was the first one to see Jesus. She said, my Lord and my God, salvation. She is now what her knowledge had built up to until that point is now stirred into faith when she has seen the risen Savior, and she put her trust in him and was saved. Hey, Colton. Oh, my goodness. Can we stop for a second? I know. Sorry. Squirrel. We're going to stop and pray over Anna. If y'all don't know the story, we've been going on just about a year. And Anna just about died on us about a year ago. And then last week, Anna got her transplant. Yeah. Amen. It'd probably been better for me to wait till the end of the service, but we ain't. I saw Colton, we're praying. Lord, we thank you, thank you, thank you for your healing power. We thank you for signs and wonders. We thank you for doctors and nurses. We thank you that when we see a miracle, we can testify that was God. And when we see healing through medicine, we can still testify and say that's God. And Lord, we're just lifting Anna up to you today as she is getting ready to eat her first bite in almost a year. As this small intestine is connecting and healing and everything is coming together, we just lift her up to you now. May Satan not get one scaly toe in the middle of this story, because at the end of this, their test will be their testimony and how God has healed in this situation. We lift up Anna to you right now. We thank you, God, for her healing, and we just glorify your name in it all. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This commercial was brought to you by the Holy Spirit. So in this passage of scripture, they're coming together in unity in prayer. That set the atmosphere. Prayer and preparation. God moves on a prepared people. He moves on a prepared people. And they had come together in unity and prayer. And that set the atmosphere for God, for Jesus himself. He said, I will pour out the Spirit. And he pours out the Holy Spirit on the church. Here's the results of it. And they go away talking the same thing. We're going to just run through the book of Acts real quick. Y'all good with that? I encourage you. You can do it with a phone, but I encourage you to bring a Bible. I want to encourage you to have a Bible with you. It is especially helpful in times like this when I'm just going to go full throttle, full auto, right through the scriptures. And this is chapter 2, verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord. Everybody say one accord. This is now the third time we've said that. It's actually one word in the Greek, and it's homothumadon. Homo, one. Thumadon, flame of passion. They have one passion. They may have different stories. They have different testimonies, but they have one passion. They have one accord. They all come with a story of God has done something in my life. Do you have that story? If you don't have that story, it should start today. Amen? God has done something in my life. So they come together with one passion, one accord. In the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Let me just, I just kind of ran ahead real quick, but I want to back up real quick too. Passover, and then 50 days after Pentecost. It is believed by Jewish scholars that on Pentecost, that was the day Moses handed down the law to the nation of Israel. If you'll remember, in that incident in which Moses handed down the law to the nation of Israel, he comes down to find the golden calf incident. This crazy party that's going on, wicked, sinful party around this idol, this golden calf. And Moses is so hacked off at him, he throws the tablets and they break. And then he commands that the Levites kill those that were involved in this idolatrous action. Anybody remember how many people were there who were killed? 3,000 people were killed that day. With the handing down of the law of God and the declaration of what is righteous and what is sin, that day 3,000 people were killed. On the day of Pentecost, when this sound happened and people come running, and they said, what's going on? Peter begins to preach the gospel to them. And this is what he preaches, that this is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And on that day, do y'all know how many people got saved? 3,000 people, verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. With the giving of law comes death. With the giving of the Holy Spirit comes life. Amen. And we just continue reading through the book of Acts. When you see the word of God being preached, we see the church growing. In chapter 4 and verse 20, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And then in chapter 4, verse 29, now Lord, look on the threats and grant to your servants with all boldness that they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Amen? They asked for God to give them boldness of speech, and he said, I'll do that right now. And the house was shaken, and they began speaking boldly. Verse 32, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Amen. You see this unity? We can speak in division, and that's about to come in this story. And that divisiveness, the growth of the kingdom slows and even stops. But when we speak in unity, the growth of the kingdom expands. And what are we speaking of? Testimonies, the wonderful works of God. We ought to be, every one of us has a story if you've been saved. And you should be telling your story. If we go on to chapter 5 and verse 12, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all in one accord. Everybody say one accord. That's not just a little bitty car. That is one passion. They were in one accord in Solomon's temple, Solomon's porch. They have outgrown this one area. They had to move to the outer courts where this large group could gather. in verse 14, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. And then the Lord tells them in verse 20, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. We should be saying the same thing. We should be saying the same thing. What's God done in your life that you can testify about? Sundays ought to be just a time in which we come and get inspired by his word, but we also just spend a lot of time sharing. Let me tell you what God did this week. Amen. Are you walking with the Lord so much so that, let me just tell you what God did this week. You know, your neighbors aren't necessarily impressed by your church attendance. They don't care. In fact, they pity you. Like Mr. T, I pity the fool. They get to sleep late. They get to lounge around, and they see you driving out of your driveway, and there's, man, I don't get it. They're not impressed by what you do for God. They don't care. But they get really impressed when they see what God does for you. That's when their eyes begin to open. They don't care what you do for God. Doesn't bother. So what? But when they see God move on your behalf, now all of a sudden you have their attention. This is what's going on in the church. In the last verse of chapter 5, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Next verse, chapter 6, verse 1, now in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplying, there grew a complaint. What happens now? Satan countermoves. I got to stop them from all being united. And so you got two different Christian groups, some who followed Greek culture, some who followed Jewish culture, and they come into a disagreement. But praise God that in 7 verses it gets dealt with. It gets handled. Look in verse 7. Then the word of the Lord, it got dealt with. God said, I got a plan for that too. Then the word of God spread. This is the formula. I hate calling it a formula, but this is how it works. This is the law of it. When God's word is spread, the church grows. Every time when God's word is spread, the church grows. When people preach the gospel, people get saved. Amen. The word of the Lord spread, verse 7, and number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now even Jewish priests are getting saved. Why? Because they've seen the power of God. Seen the power of God. Not just somebody's church attendance. They have heard the word of God and seen the power of God. Chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. What's happened? Persecution happens. Now they're not readily accepted in Jerusalem anymore. And now they're scattered all over. And wherever they went, they preached the word. Verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes, with what? One accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Amen. What were they doing? Speaking the same thing. They were testifying the word of God. Chapter 12, verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Amen. The word of God grew and multiplied. Chapter 13, verse 49. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout the region. I mean, it's just one verse after the next. The church was strengthened in faith and increased in number daily. Chapter 19, verse 20. So the word of the Lord grew mightily, and I love this one, and prevailed. Amen. Amen. And prevailed. This always wins. Amen. He always wins. He's got a perfect fighting record. He's never tied. He's never lost. He's always won every fight. Amen. Let us speak the same things. We're going to wrap this up. I want to ask you, what have you been saying? What's the majority of your conversation? What is the majority of conversation? Is it maybe a hobby, maybe it's an interest, maybe it's what is going on in the world right now, maybe it's sports, maybe it's the news, maybe it's the weather. But let us be testifying. Let me tell you what God's done. Well, if you're not experiencing God, then you don't really have a whole lot to talk about. Now, well, let's talk about the weather. I would rather talk about God. I'd rather testify of, just like they did in the book of Acts, the amazing, wonderful works of the Lord. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you're not saved. You never experienced the wonderful work of God in your life. And man, today would be an awesome day to do that. We have this this other word called confession. It comes along with repentance. And confession is simply this: saying the same thing. Maybe you realize that kind of goes with my sermon today. It's saying the same thing. But when it comes to confession, God, I come to God and say, Lord, would you show me anything in my life that is hindering your word from going out and from your works from being manifested? What is hindering your word from going out, and what's stopping your works from being manifested? And Lord, is there something in my life that's stopping that? And if he speaks to you and says, yeah, there's this area that we need to deal with, what do you do with that? You rationalize it. But Lord, you know, I had this rough upbringing, and Lord, you know, I have this offense, and Lord, you know, I have this issue, and Lord, rationalizing and justifying, that won't get you anywhere. Confession is saying the same thing. God says, look, this is a sin of commission. You're committing this sin, and that is hindering the word from going and your works being manifested. That is sin. And confession is to say, you're right, God, that's sin. God says, that needs to be removed. You're right, God, that needs to be removed. Saying the same thing. Or maybe it's a sin of omission. Lord, I'm not testifying to the things that you've done, and that's sin, because the scripture says for him to know what is right and does not, to him it is sin. So Lord, you've convicted me that I'm sinning the sin of omission. I'm not doing what's right. And so, Lord, I recognize that sin. And so you say it's sin, I say it's sin. I confess. So confession is this. The step of repentance is beginning to say the same thing, and then I confess another thing: Jesus is my Lord. And by Lord, I mean you're my master. I'm going to follow your ways. And I want to join with the people of Christ, and I want us to be saying the same thing. I want us to all to be testifying to the wonderful works of our good God. Amen. And when we do, this city will rejoice, just like this city we saw in the scriptures. When we do, the works of God will be manifested, just like we saw in the scriptures. When we do, the church will grow, just like we saw in the scriptures. Amen. Let us all be saying the same thing. Father God, I thank you for your wonderful works. The things that you have done in me, for me, to me, through me. Thank you, God. You are God, and you are good, and everything that you do is amazing and wonderful. Thank you, God, for the things that you've done in this church. In this church, to this church, through this church, thank you, God. Thank you for the Church of Athens. May this city rejoice over the wonderful works of God. May we continue to just testify to the goodness of our good God. May it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.